Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you and we glorify you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you lead and guide us tonight into the subject that you'd like us to speak about, and talk about, and discuss about, and you to teach us about, Lord. We ask and we pray, Father, for your closeness to us and help us to draw nigh unto you, Lord, to hear your voice clearly and to understand you in a way that we never have before. That's awesome, Lord, to be able to listen and to understand that you're talking to us and telling us what to do and giving us revelations and doing all the things that we're supposed to be doing with you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to give it all up but just you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that tonight in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us dominion and authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus right now, I bind up any kind of demonic interference in anybody's communications to get on Zoom tonight and join us in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, everybody's going to have a good signal and lots of bandwidth to do and to say whatever they need to say. And I thank you, Lord, for this open heaven you've given us also. And in that open heaven, we can pray and understand and believe, Lord, that what we pray, we're going to trust you, that it's going to be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Or a testimony? Or a comment? Yeah, Benita.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, girl.
I got a big thing going on. Nick and I are going to India at the end of the month. Yeah, I know. My mom's sister isn't feeling well, and she wants to go visit her. And so she's asked us to go along because she can't go by herself, and my dad's not feeling up to going. So the two of us are going with her. September 26th, we're leaving. It's a Thursday. So we'll be gone for 2 weeks. So just asking the Lord to bless the trip. The tickets were cheaper than they've ever been, and the price was all in the sevens. Every number was a seven. So that was like, okay, Lord, you bless this trip. Just help us to be obedient in the trip and just share your word and however we can out there, Lord, and just open their hearts up right now as we go there. Just open up the hearts of my family there. I have a lot of family there that I haven't seen in a long time. So just pray that the Lord would just open up their hearts to receive the word and the truth. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your protection upon her there and back, and get her back safely, Lord, her and Nick both, in Jesus' name. There used to be a TV show about India and his family in India back in the 50s. I remember this show when I was a child, when I was a kid. And it was a very good show. I don't know if I don't think anybody here could remember it. But I was trying to think of the name of it. They would ride elephants and all kinds of things, you know. Pretty neat. All right, anybody else? What bells? You hearing bells ringing, Barbara?
Yeah.
Oh, we need to pray for you. Okay, go ahead, Pat. I'm kidding, Barbara.
I just want to thank the Lord for his healing, healing my son, who, Father, I just thank you for the healing power of your word, Lord, and a prayer. Thank you that you are bringing forth that healing in him, and Lord, that you're going to continue to work in his life and provide direction for him. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for healing my feet and my toes. I thank you that your word is, you sent your word to us to grasp on and hold on to it and believe wholeheartedly. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for placing and creating that whole heart within me and within my brothers and sisters as well. So I praise you for the work that you have done in Jesus' name. Amen. Michael, are you speaking to us?
Yeah. Y'all didn't hear that? Man, that was some good stuff I had then. Sorry about that. Lord, I thank you. I'll just do it again. Lord, I thank you for a good, slow rain tonight on us. We need a little rain. Thank you, Father, for it. That hurricane's going through all the after effects of it. Well, they had some big winds and rain down in Louisiana when it came up yesterday. All right, anybody else? We don't want no torpedoes, though. All right. Anybody got anything they want to speak about? I you know, I saw, Julie, you still got that link to Brandon? Put that in the chat. This is to Brandon, and he has I only listened to about 10 minutes of it at the most. But the name of it is, you never, oh gosh, what is it, Julie? How to talk to God or something like that.
It's called Hearing God's Voice in the Last Days.
Yeah. Hearing God's voice. And it's basically the same thing that most of us already know, but I'm sure, because it's an hour long, so he goes into him and his wife. What's her name? I think she's called wife. I don't know. But one of the first things he said is to go to the Lord like a child, like a little child. And that's the way we should go to him and just believe. I thought that was noteworthy because, and he said, it's not something that you're going to, it's something you work into, is the way he called it. You work into it. And I believe that. I know that for a fact. You get, the more you do it, the more you'll be able to hear him, the better you'll be able to hear him, the Lord. And a lot of it is understanding, is it me or is that the Lord? that's where a lot of people get discouraged more than anything. They can't ascertain whether or not it's the Lord or they're themselves that's doing it. Most of the time, it's the Lord. A lot of times, it's the Lord. How many of you have bought something that you wished you hadn't bought, or when you were going to buy it, that you knew that you shouldn't buy it, but you're going to buy it anyway because your flesh wanted it? Yeah. I shouldn't have brought that up, should I? Yeah. Oh, I've done that too many times. Golly. Too many times. Lord, forgive me. But yeah. Now, we, as Christians, as new creations, we should be able to hear the Lord when we ask Him for. I remember I had a preacher friend of mine. He was very spiritual guy. And boy, he said, you know what I did the other day? I said, no, what'd you do, Larry? His name was Larry. He said, I went to the grocery store and I wanted a watermelon. But I wanted the best watermelon I'd had in a long time. And I said, well, what'd you do? He said, well, I started putting my hands on the watermelons. And I closed my eyes. Lord, is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? Can you imagine the people looking, what is that guy doing to my watermelon? And he's going over here and he's doing this. And he's finally found the one that he thought that the Lord had... I told him to get, and he got that, and he said, Michael, that was the best watermelon I'd ever had. We can even do that with the Lord, you know, go in there and, Lord, you know, whatever how you want to do it, you don't have to go in there and lay hands on every watermelon there unless you just want to and bless them for somebody else, you know. But that's we ought to be using God every day for that. And I don't do that. I'm going to start. Let's all try to start using God in every situation that we come to. And then that's how you listen to Him and be led by Him a lot. Yeah, Missy.
That kind of reminds me of here lately a lot, you know, like when it comes to, asking the Lord about what to make for dinner or something or whatever. And, you know, he'll something will pop into my mind or whatever. And I'm not like really thinking about, you know, what I do have on hand, but when something pops into my mind, I realize then, oh, I have that. And I need to use that up. Like, for instance, this was the coolest
thing. Hey, can I interrupt you just a minute? This is life-threatening, okay? Okay. Angelica placed in the deal there. She said, my cousin Mary is about to be disconnected from life support. She told me earlier that she didn't think she was saved. So let's pray for her. Lord, we lift up Angelica's cousin Mary right now. We thank you, Father, that you're going to hear ours. And for your glory, Lord. For your glory, we command the spirit of death off of her right now in the name of Jesus. We command you to go from her. We command this spirit of infirmity off of her. We command every organ to react and come back to life in the name of Jesus. Every organ come back to life in Angelica's cousin Mary in the name of Jesus right now. And I praise you, Father, that she will live and not die in the name of Jesus. When they disconnect her, she's going to raise up and tell them, I come to Jesus, glory to God, and I thank you for it, Father. And I break all the powers of the enemy trying to take her life right now. In Jesus' name, you get from her right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, she is healed, delivered, and set free. And she's going to give you the glory when she wakes up, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord, that Mary is healed. Everybody believe that? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. She is healed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, Teresa.
Hi.
All right, anyone else? I'm sorry, Missy, go ahead.
Anyway, I wanted to make this recipe that calls for a particular kind of white wine. They said, you know, suggested dry white wine, you know, that you burn off, you know, or whatever. You don't like burn it, but evaporate it off. And I've never even used wine before to cook, I don't think. And I knew I had this bottle of wine down in the bottom of the pantry that I use for when we have communion, but we had gotten this wine when we stayed at this place. They gave you a bottle of wine with your room. Anyway, so I went, and it was exactly the kind of wine that it that suggested. And I'm like, Lord, you're so cool. But anyway, it's and it's just stuff like that, you know. Like I'm like have something left over, something that I haven't used up, and the Lord will pop into my head something to make, and it's like, and then I realize, oh, I needed to finish using that up. So it's just cool. It's cool that he does that, because I don't really think about it, you know. And so that's just kind of relates to what Michael was talking about.
Yeah, amen. Anyone else? On hearing from the Lord. Yeah, Teresa.
Well, you know how I had been, you and I had been praying concerning Terry's court hearing? Well, so his dad and him were driving up from Hays to Topeka, which is about a 4-hour drive. And they got a call sometime, well, it would had to have been, they had gotten halfway, and they got a call from the courthouse saying that the court hearing was not going to be today. And so they set a later date for December or something. And so, so they listened to my, email. You know, I texted, one of the his prosecutor through the email, and I had also called the prosecutor's office and talked with an assistant, you know, the about 3 days before. So evidently they listened to it. So evidently they're giving him a chance to get on his feet.
I had no doubt.
And that.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, that was it.
Okay.
Just that.
Praise God.
It is a praise God, because, he has not been consuming any alcoholic beverages whatsoever. So he's with his dad right now.
Praise God.
And so, you know, he's being well taken care of right now, his dad and his wife.
Amen. Is his dad a Christian?
That's hard to say.
Okay.
I know I spent 21 years praying for him. and then he ended up marrying somebody else. So as to where he is, I don't know. I did have promises from God that he had answered my prayers, but it wasn't going to be when he was with me.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for a mighty work that you're doing in Terry right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for opening his eyes to see and his ears to hear the spiritual aspects of the Word of God. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for him. Amen.
Yeah, in Jesus' name.
You know, what would help him to understand the Bible would be Sovereign God, David's book, Sovereign God. I don't know if you've got it or not.
Oh, yeah. I can send it to him. Yeah.
Yeah. That would definitely help him understand
okay.
the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yeah, real good news also.
Me
either
too.
One of those.
Yeah. I know I have been sending him some things from David Deal's teachings.
Yeah.
I don't, I'm trying not to overwhelm him.
Yeah, that's wise, because it'll just frustrate him. I just let him get through with one book before he gets another.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty work you're doing in that man. In Jesus' name.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Y'all remember when we used to have, and I'm not complaining, I know what's happened. Y'all remember when we used to have between 30 and 40 people on here? The little postage stamp things that you see rows and rows and rows of it. They just fall away, don't they? We got a group here that's been with us for a long time. Annie, you've been with us since before you came here, hadn't you? Y'all were on then.
Me and Matthew?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that actually this morning. We've been on just about 10 years now.
Oh, really?
Right after we got married.
Yeah. Joe's been on a long time. Missy's been on a couple of years. Oh, my. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Pat. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I just, I remember because I wasn't in this Zoom meetings. It's probably been 4 years, 4 or 5 years now. But I listened to UBM back when it was America's Last Days.
Yeah.
And that's where I came into listening. anyway, I was thinking about your words of, you know, hearing the voice of the Lord. And I went over to John 10 and was reading what the Lord says about that. And I kind of get stuck, I guess, between let me just put it this way. There's not really a way to hear the voice of the Lord. And what I mean, this is kind of what I'm thinking. Because, it's not like a how-to. If you do this, step 1, 2, and 3, and be sure you get 3 down really well, and then you'll hear his voice. I mean, all you know, I think all of the things, there's a multitude of things that we can do that hinder his voice. And, you know, maybe the Lord would enlighten me or give me direction on this and correct my thinking if I'm wrong. But when I read in John 10:3, he says, well, in the first verse of chapter 10, says, truly I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And I think that the Lord knows how to speak in such a way that we are able to discern his voice, because we are his. And I know I don't hear an audible voice, you know, when the Lord is talking to me. But I've learned, I guess, over the years to follow the desires of my heart, and especially follow the thought progressions that he puts in my mind. And I can't, it's not like I can hear the, you know, Jesus' voice and he says, all right, Pat, I want you to think about John 10:3 here or something like that. But it's more, to me, it's more that he leads my thoughts and my heart. And then he starts to open up deeper understandings or deeper thoughts related to that or whatever. And maybe this is just, you know, maybe this is my mind as I'm interpreting, you know, this leading, I guess you might say. But I know that he has given me I don't know if it's a desire or a tendency to connect the dots. And by what I mean by that is by looking at the cause and effect relationships of his word related to, you know, obeying that word and what the effect of that is in the spirit and in the soul. I don't know how to explain it more than that, but anyway, I think that, you know, in my life, that is kind of a close connection to hearing the voice of the Lord. But he says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And I guess just being that born or reborn state of consciousness, we inwardly know his voice. And again, though it may not be by words or an audible voice, but we know how his spirit leads us. And simply because we have been born into his family, into being born into him. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were, which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." And I think I may be speaking to everybody in this group that was probably like me, that the Lord, having brought me into the kingdom by the awareness of who he was and a reborn spirit, and my desire wasn't to go to church, so to speak, but he led me there anyway. And I went through that system and I experienced that verse. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, I wouldn't say that the people that are the groups and the denominations and the various different, groups that I went through. I'm not going to say they were thieves and robbers, but I will say that there was a higher spirit that, put a lid on, the truths of God and entering into a real relationship with the Lord. And in a sense, they were robbers, so to speak, because they were touting a particular company line and wouldn't deviate, were not open to deviate from that or investigate other options, even though they could see a multitude of failures in the things that they believed. But the Lord allowed me to see that because the sheep do not hear them, choose not to hear them. And I think it's because the Lord puts that sensitivity of his word and his voice and in our hearing his voice, we are led around that path, or we're led to understand the voice of the apostate thinking and the voice of the Lord. But down in verse 14 here, he says again, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. And, you know, Jesus is saying here that they will hear his voice just as we are hearing his voice. And they will become one flock with one shepherd. Even down in verse 27, 25, Jesus said to them, I told you, 24, the Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these also testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. And I think that connection with, obviously, with being a sheep, being the Lord's sheep, is that we believe. Connected with that is that we believe his word and we believe his voice and are able to make logical decisions based upon that voice, based upon hearing that voice. And he says it again, but you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So I think hearing his voice for many of us sounds a little different. Maybe there's different characteristics to hearing his voice that we've gotten used to. And I know since I've been with UBM, I've heard so many other different ways of confirming certain things, and there's just such a different, different people with different perspectives, and the Lord speaks and uses each one in a different way. It's like Michael mentioned on Tuesday. When David asked the Lord, I believe if you would be able to hear or talk to the angels, or I don't remember exactly what you said, but you asked and it didn't work. And the Lord said, well, I've given gifts to David and I've given gifts to Michael, and he's given gifts to all of us to develop and to mature in as we follow that voice. And you know that his voice again may be different for each one of us depending upon the tendency or the bent or the gift that he's given us. But the exciting thing is we all follow the same Lord. We all follow the same voice. We all have the same spirit. And we are one in Christ. And so even though we may be different in our abilities, our gifts, our thoughts, our contributions, our prayer, what we see, our perspective, etc. We're all one in Christ. And so, it's just, it's exciting. And I just praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your gift of life and love. And Lord, we just love you. And we just thank you for what you're doing in us, in each and every way that you bring us step by step into that perfect place in Christ, and you perfect and mature and provide grace. And Lord, thank you for the message that Michael gave related to humility and submission, and just learning those things of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God and trusting you that you will lift us up, even in our different circumstances. You will lift us up in due time because you are the author and the finisher. You are the perfecter and you are the perfect one. So we thank you, Lord. We just bless you. We praise you for being with us here now, strengthening our hearts. Lord, let us hear your voice even stronger, and give us grace, Lord, to walk in the leading of your voice and to raise us up to be that which you have created us to be in Christ. I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we'd love to hear your voice all the time when you speak to us, Father God. And we thank you for teaching us how, Lord, and as we walk in this spiritual realm that you want us in, Lord, and I thank you for it. Open up our hearing, spiritual hearing. In Jesus' name. Anyone else? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
What Pat said there was good, and but you know, sometimes the Lord will give you during your study earlier in that day, he'll give you some words, and it will relate when you come to a meeting like this, when you're in fellowship, you read earlier something in the Bible, and I believe that's the way he speaks with us too. But, you know, sometimes I especially note that when I was at work and you're in front of all these worldly people, you know what you can say and what you can't say to them about the Lord. And he comes into your mind a lot there. And, you know, sometimes it's even with family members. So, we love our family members, but, you know, the Lord speaks to us there too. And you got to be weak to the weak. And sometimes you even have to remember, because family members are in that church that you started out with. You got to remember what they believe, because it's been such a long time, you can forget that even. And it's good to forget that stuff that's not right, but, you know, so I think the Lord speaks to us that way too. Like, and when the Lord takes care of something, you know, it's done, and it just follows through so plainly and nicely. And that's, it just makes it really smooth for that time. You know that the Lord choreographed it as you're going through that part or portion of your life. and but he does choreograph everything. Actually, we just have to be ready for whenever the Lord wants to show us to the world. And of course, we want that open door. Paul prayed for an open door, and we want that open door. We want to be constantly in the presence of the Lord. Like when you look at how the Lord sets up all the stuff for Cornelius when he came to the Lord, and for Paul, you know, these people have a testimony that we've been reading for. People have been reading for 2,000 years, you know, the people at Pentecost, 4,000, I think, 3,000 or 4,000, all at once, that's their testimony. Yeah, yeah. So there's 3,000 testimonies, and you might say they're all the same thing, but I don't know if it was all the same for those 3,000 people, you know. They all had something that they may have done prior to that, that the Lord used that to help them to understand what Peter was saying there. So anyway, I'm sure when you listen to things, and I'm not saying that you should listen to things in the news and stuff, but you know, sometimes when you listen to the things there, you know what's going on, and you know what they're saying is wrong. And so you move on, you know. You can just read the titles sometimes in the little news, the titles of what they want to talk about. You go, well, you know, you can just tell by the title of what they want to talk about and stuff. There's a lot of stuff that you can apply those verses in Matthew 24, I think, because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold, but who that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There's a lot of places where you have to apply that. Even like if you're just going out for groceries and stuff, and you see things happening, the Lord will speak to you there, you know, like when this man is manifesting some sort of spirit. There's one guy in my neighborhood, he has Tourette's, I think it's called, and he manifests his yelling out loud, you know, and he does that a few times when I go to the grocery store. He's near the building he lives in, and it manifests, and you can just tell, like, if you're going to go for a walk and give a couple of coins to people, because we got dollar and $2 coins here in Canada. So you want to give the guy who's begging for money at least a little bit of money, and if you can talk to him for a couple of seconds, so you can discern things just with these small things, you know. And you can discern religious spirits just by what the person's saying. And you can even tell by their body language, you know. Sometimes you can tell by the body language on how this person reacts or what's going on over there, you know. So that's where I'm at anyway. I have heard the voice of the Lord, though, when he speaks to me. Like when I was in the past, I used to hear people. And then I would get answers in my head for some of the things that happened. And it's kind of exciting to hear it that way too. That's kind of like, you know, there was one guy a long time ago I was witnessing to, and he said, "You're not one of them born again, are you? You're brainwashed." And I sort of was caught off guard, you know, backed away. And that was a long time ago, and the guy who talked to me about the Lord the first time, he said, "What's wrong, Andrew?" So he discerned by my body language there was something wrong there at work. And I said, he just called me brainwashed. And he said, what's wrong with that? And I said, Lord, if he thinks I'm brainwashed, what's wrong with him? Well, you got brainwashed with clean water. He's got brainwashed with dirty water. That's what I got. And I went, oh, and I knew that he was of a different denomination that I was privy to. So I knew where he was at. So I just left it at that. You know, I didn't try to talk to too many people who weren't that much older than I was, you know. So I just try to talk to people my own age. You know, he was about six to eight years younger than I was, and that was a long time ago. So I think you tend to do that anyway, but when you tend to be our age, you can basically talk to anyone who's adult, I guess. Anyway, so there are things that happen, and of course, there's the dreams too. Let the Lord speak to you in your dreams, and speaks to you when you're listening to the Word, and when you're studying the Word, and when other people are talking, you know, you can get some good advice even from fellowship. So the Lord speaks to you in many ways like that. He mostly, when you're involved with the worldly people, he's giving you warning. And when you're new in the Lord, you try to correct everyone, and that can get you in a big trouble when you're trying to correct everyone. So that's just my two cents for this, and I pray the Lord magnify them, magnify us to hear more clearly in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to read you something that I read to the group yesterday. And it's actually right on. If I can find it. Anybody else got something while I'm looking for this? That's not it. Anybody got something they want to say while I'm looking this up?
Yeah. Does anybody, what is that scripture? Is it in Peter that it said, I know the one in James that, you know, you're going through manifold temptations, but there's another one in, I think in Peter, it talks about, when, let me think, maybe it's fiery trial. Is that it? Let me just search that. Because it was, I was thinking about the, you know, the Lord, the discipleship process. Let's see, manifold temptations. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as as though a strange thing happened unto you. But in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice that the revelation of his glory also ye may rejoice with exceeding joy. If ye are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are ye, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rest upon you. And believe it or not, that's not the one I was looking for. And maybe I shouldn't have said anything. I can't remember what it was.
God, I put it in the chat. Is that the one you're thinking of?
I don't know. Could be 1:6. Is that what it is?
What about James 1:4?
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Was it James 1:3 you're looking for?
No, that's what started me off on it. I think it's 1:6. 1:5, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, ye have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it be proved by fire, may be found unto the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom not having seen ye love, on whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That was the one, because just knowing that, I know what it is, in due time, was saying, and maybe it was, I was keying off of what Michael was teaching about humility. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And there's something in another scripture that's related to that, that in due time, he will lift you up. And I guess I'm just thinking that it's that, that though for now, for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials. And I have to say that probably in these last year or so, in this last year or so, that scripture has kind of become real to me. Because it seems like there's a lot of if need be connected with that. So I'm learning to rejoice and thank the Lord that he's taking us through and taking me through things that that only he knows, and I guess only I know what those things are. And I guess it connects back to hearing his voice, where we can see these things that he's taking us through in these fiery trials and this, and it's all connected with latching onto his word, believing it, and feeling the repercussions even within ourselves. and just seeing that flesh within us rise up and not want to humble itself to that word. And the author and finisher of our faith knows exactly what we need and what word we need to hold on to in order to put that flesh to death. And so I just praise the Lord and thank him for what he's doing in us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm through, Michael.
Okay. Well, you're looking the wrong way, dog. Hey, no, that's a big dog. Yeah. All right, I'm going to read this. Excuse me. It's what I read yesterday, and it was really good, and it's right on for today. It says, it's my desire and my will for you to know me above anything and everything else, for you to worship me and for you to love me in the way that I love you. I am giving unto you a new and a fresh understanding of my love for you. You will begin to see in a new way with new eyes the great love wherewith I have loved you with. I will give to you a greater depth and understanding of the fullness and the extent of the limit that love went for you. You will help me to impart this to my body and my bride. But it is my greater desire for my bride to know and to understand this for herself as she comes to me and I reveal myself to her direct. So understand that in the fullness of time, the revelation of the bridegroom will be revealed to the bride in entirety as she comes before me in intimate and passionate communion, and I, Jesus, impregnate her with the very seed of myself and of who I am. My bride will carry this child, this seed, this baby of my glory, and she will begin to groan and travail, and with great passion she will give birth in and throughout the nations of the earth. My glory will surely cover the earth even as the waters cover the sea. Great shaking and awakening will continue in the midst of my church and my bride as the revelation of myself, the bridegroom, is understood throughout my body. They will begin to come to me direct and learn of me and of my ways, and they will be still and silent before me as they listen for my voice. I will speak to my sheep. And as she begins to communicate the mysteries of my spirit, my word will unfold unto her as she looks and understands with the eyes of her spirit. Even the Acts Church, as it was first seen, will be restored once again as the fellowship and the oneness and the communion of the first converts is seen once again. You will see the love of true family restored as my body walks together unselfishly, even esteeming their brothers and sisters' own needs above their own. This is the selfless body that I desire. This is how I gave myself for the world, unselfishly loving the world, and even those closest to me who I knew would reject and would betray me. This is the way in which I desire my bride to love. She will also give her life to me as a ransom for many. She will truly understand that she was bought with a great price and will understand her life is not her own, and will be willing to lay it down that the world might see and know that I, Jesus the Christ, am truly Lord and King over their lives. I live for the day that my children will give themselves over to me completely. A few have, and their heavenly reward will be truly great. But yet many, many more will give themselves over to me completely in these final hours as they understand that there is nothing greater than being conquered by my love. Let me conquer you, my bride. Let me conquer you with the passion and the love that caused me to stretch out my arms upon the cross for you. The blood that I shed and the death that I died was not only for you, my bride, but for every lost soul that you come into contact with that will be willing to receive me and my saving grace. I died for the entire world, and I desire that not one perish, but that all would come to repentance. You must be my hands. You must be my mouthpiece. You must be my love reaching and stretching out to a hurting, orphaned, and fatherless generation that has been left for dead. Be my life, my children. Be my hands and be my feet. Go to the nations and tell them of my great love. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank you that each and every one of us has laid our life on your altar to do as you'd have us to do, Lord, or to do the things that you just talked about in that word that you gave years ago. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we all have laid our lives on your altar, Lord, to do this selfless and loving work that you did before us, laid out the foundation for it. And I praise you for allowing us the opportunity to walk like you did here on earth in that loving, selfless way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we want to die and nothing be left of us but you. Thank you, Father, for giving us the opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Yeah, Missy.
That's something that the Lord has really impressed me with here lately is... when I talk to others about the Lord, whether they be a Christian or an unbeliever or whatever, expressing the Lord's love for them, letting them know how much the Lord loves them, not just, you know, the fact that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, but just to express, you know, make sure that's the focus, I think. You know, it's something he's really impressed me with. That's the reason he's done everything that he's done, you know, whatever it is because of his great love for us.
I knew. Amen. It seems like in this Progressive Intimacy, it's a great book. The Lord seems to put it in words that affect your very walk with him, doesn't it? Makes you, and that's something I try to do every day is read one of these things. And it's kind of like a year did. Use it as a daily remind her, I guess. For, yeah. And so it actually puts you in, yeah, devotion, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. And puts you on the right path, you know, early in the morning when you read these things. That's why I like it. You can get this thing on the Kindle, Progressive Intimacies, this is called, by, what's the guy's name? Caleb something or other. All right. Anyone else got something they'd like to speak about? How many of you want to look like Jesus? You know what it takes, don't you? Every one of us knows what it takes. It means sacrificing our life for Him. Yeah, going to the cross. Sacrificing everything we've got to Him. Some have sacrificed more than others. The thing is, you just work where you are, you know. Sacrificing your daily life for others. Yeah, that's right. You just said in faith in what He did already. He's already done all the work for us. All we have to do is just have faith in the fact that He has done it. And I look more like Jesus every day. Glory to God. Because I've been looking in that mirror. Y'all been looking in that spiritual mirror? Yeah, I look in that spiritual mirror every day. See Jesus. All right, sometimes we can, you can do this. I've done it many times. Lord, come on, let's go. Go with me. Let's go walking. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. I like to do that because He's always waiting on me. Go ahead, Judy.
Can I share something that the Lord gave me recently? Yes. As I was just kind of meditating and just thinking about Him and just the stuff He's been sharing with, you know, the teachings and my own studies. Well, anyhow, kind of goes along with what you were saying, Michael. It's like, you know, I've made this a confession too. You know, it's like you sent out that little booklet you made about our confessions, you know, that the different words in there, what we confess and how we confess them. So, it's like we overcome the old man, sin, the evil one, and every temptation we are faced by our humble submission to the Lord, obedience to the truth, and exercising faith in the promises we have by the redeeming blood of Christ. Because Jesus overcame the world, so shall I. Christ in me, the hope of glory. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, my little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you know Him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the evil one. 1 John 5:4-5. For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world? That he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they loved not their life even unto death. Amen. You know, and there's probably a lot more verses that can add to that, but that was just kind of what the Lord was showing me, how He overcame the world for us to show us how we can overcome the world and all that's in the world. That's, you know, against us, and you know, and it's all faith in who he is and what he's already done for us. He overcame the world so we could do it. He overcame sin so we could do it. He overcame the flesh so we could do it. He showed us how to die. He showed us what it is to, you know, to walk in his ways. And to me, that's what it is, what he was showing me is that's how we overcome. You know, it's faith in what he already accomplished and who he says we are and, you know, all that he's given to us. So thank you, Lord, for making us all overcomers because of what you've done and the word you've put in our hearts and the faith you've put in our hearts. Just redeeming us, Lord, by your precious blood and all of that means that you no longer see us. You no longer see us as we were. We're all new in Christ and we're all perfect in your love and your grace and your peace and your mercy. And we just need to believe about ourselves because you say it about us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Glory be to God. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I could just say about Wednesday Bible study, David's message was very good and understanding dreams and vision and giving lots more details of it. That was eye-opening for me. But the most important part was what you talking about, humility. I listened already a couple of times. It's maybe I didn't hear it before, but so it makes so much sense of how you explain humility. I'll probably read the book as well today and see it. Yeah, it makes so much sense. It so opened up for me. It was very good. So I'm just meditating on that and ask the Lord to lead me. I just want to say that's a very good teaching, right, Michael. Thank you.
I hear you. Thank you, Joe. I think that's something that he's working in all of us. It's just humility. Losing self, getting rid of self. Anyone else? Oh, okay.
No, sometimes the occasion of humility comes up. You go through your day and the occasion to be humble comes up. You know, through your interaction with people, you know you've got to be humble here. It's kind of like being weak to the weak, but you have to become, I guess, a weak vessel for the Lord to operate through. You have to let. You have to give in. And I wish I could give you an example of a time when this happened. Well, you know, to back away from things when it's overwhelming, you know. Not that you're in fear, but you just you wait aside and let whatever the Lord wants to do at that occasion, let him do what he wants to do with you when you're faced with this. And anyways, like even if you mess up somewhere, you don't sort of run away. You gotta wait and see what happens. You know, you gotta see if you're gonna get favor from men or not. You know, or I don't know what I'm really trying to say here. It's just that the occasions of humility has to come up. You know, it's just something that, I don't know what Joe said there, that you know that these occasions for you to be humble come up, whatever they might be. Anyways, praise God.
Amen. Well, that humility There's something. I'll tell you what the best leader, I guess, for lack of another word in my mind right now, is how do you react to your family? Because every one of them knows your buttons. And God wants us to know no buttons anymore. And sometimes we fail, but when we do, we just get back on the road again. Ask the Lord to forgive you, whoever you know, messed up with.
You know,
Lord, I'll tell you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to speak to that. I know that there has to be tender-heartedness and loving-kindness for family people. But sometimes, you know, I picture people like you got two keys in your hand. One's a sheep key. And if you can start any Christian at all with that sheep key, you know. But you have to take the goat key and throw it away because you don't want to get anything together. And a lot of Christians got to just let go of their goat key, you know. Like, don't stick it in that belly for anyone because you don't want to do that. You know, the sheep key, they'll never stop talking. And that's a good thing, you know, if they're talking about the Lord, you know. So, and in these times that we live in, we want to be available for the Lord. We have to be available for the Lord. We have to get ready. He told us to get ready and to watch. So we have to be ready. So, and the only one who can get us ready and to know how to watch for things is the Lord anyway. So we want to be in that, we want to be in that zone, I guess. That's the only way I can put it. Praise God. I don't know how you can add that to what I was talking about earlier, you know, but praise God and glory to God.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the goat key and the sheep key because that's a good way for me to remember that when I talk to the goats and the sheep. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I was just thinking about the humility and what it's connected to, because it is connected directly to submission to authority. And we tend to think of that somewhat in a regimented or harsh type of reality, at least initially when we are introduced to that. But it's interesting how many times in the scripture where God brings correction into, like, the go through Judges and read how many times the children of Israel drifted away from God's word and drifted away, and he brought in a nation or something to put them under captivity or you might call it forced submission, because, you know, God knows that it is absolutely essential that we humble, that this self-life is humbled. And the very first steps of that, or the, you know, the I guess the lowest level of that is simply learning submission and learning to trust God and trust His word through our submitting to authority. And I think that that process, as we cooperate with God and we understand how He uses authorities above us, whether they be righteous or whether they be unrighteous, is quite irrelevant to listening to the Lord and discerning His voice, because you are learning to submit for the purpose of the grace that is poured out in your life as you humble yourself under His mighty hand. But that is kind of the foundations, or I guess you might say the starting point, excuse me, at least where I learned it, that it was the very first thing, excuse me, that the Lord did for me when He brought me into the denominational system, was to teach me submission, and submission and learning to be under submission to an authority, and quite frankly sometimes under an authority that wasn't correct in the things that they were seeing or saying or preaching or whatever. That being the case, again, the Lord sees that prerequisite of being under submission as essential in the humility portion and being able to discern His word and walk in His truth, so to speak. But the thing that I'm learning now is that, I guess maybe down at the detail level, there's even a more subtle humbling process that is going on, and it is that humbling ourselves to the specifics of God's word and experiencing the, I guess you might say, the opposition or the battle within my soul related to that. And finding myself, I guess, in the midst of this battle, finding myself not only seeing depths of the soul life that is in there or was in there, and the battle that goes on at that level, and experiencing the failure of that, which is humbling in and of itself. But this is, I think I've shared this before. I'm not really sure, but this is, I think, where He has me now, and I've been on this for a while, and that's in Psalm 107. When He, in 107 verse 20, He said, Well, if you read through Psalm 107, you're going to see a repetition of God's people finding themselves under adverse circumstances, crying out to God, and God saving them. That's a repetition through that process, through that psalm. It starts out, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the adversary." And that, in a nutshell, is what the Lord is doing in my life right now. And that I am, there was a deep-seated reluctance to speak out in agreement to the word of God and to acknowledge the Lord Jesus, etc. And I just, admit that there's a reluctance. I don't know if it's this day and age that we're in or whatever it is. But he took me to verse 20, obviously, because I am seeking to receive the solution of that, of the overcoming of that subtlety within me, of that, in that battle. And he said, in verse 19, it said, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses." And how does he save them? How does he save us out of our distresses? He sends his word and heals them and delivers them from their destructions. And when I got to thinking about that, it doesn't say, "Then they cry unto the Lord, and he saveth them out of all their distresses. He heals them and delivers them." No, there's a little subtle thing in there. He said he sends his word and heals them and delivers them. And what I thought of when I read that is that example in Numbers. Think Numbers 21:8, where children of Israel were going. I hope I'm not repeating myself, because I might have already spoke about this. But the children of Israel started murmuring. I don't remember the reason for it, it had to be a real good reason, no doubt about that. But they weren't catching the drift, and the Lord raised up and sent serpents, snakes in their midst, and bit a bunch of them, and they died. And so they cried out to the Lord, and Moses, and so he sent his word. If you read that verse, matter of fact, I'll read it. "And the Lord said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it upon the pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live." And so Moses did so. But if you remember what it said in the previous verse, it said the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray to the Lord, he take away the serpents from us." But the Lord didn't take the serpents away from them. He gave them another serpent on a pole, and he basically sent his word and said, "If you believe you look on this pole, you'll be healed if you have been bitten by a snake. He sent his word for them to believe it. He's put that pole, Moses put that pole up. But when they got bit by a snake, if they said, no, I'm not looking at that pole, I don't need that pole, I'm going to go to the physicians or I'm going to do whatever, they would have died. God gave them, he didn't take the pain or the thing away from them. He gave them a word to believe, and they had to believe it and obey it in order to receive that. And so the Lord has shown me that he gave us a word. He sent his word related to healing. First Peter, by his stripes we were healed, and various other different things. The curse he's removed from us and put upon himself, etc. And all these words of healing, of deliverance, he's given to us. So what is the application for me? The application for me was, before I would believe it and I would hunker down and I would believe it and I would cast things down and struggle the battle would continue. But I was believing the word. But all through this psalm, and I encourage you to read the whole psalm through, he starts out with this encouragement, and then right here in verse 21, the very next verse, after he says he sends his word and to heal, and then he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his loving kindness or his mercy, his grace, for his wonderful works to the children of men. And the next verse, let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with singing. And that, I have to confess, that second part was my downfall, my struggle, because it's real easy. I won't say it's real easy, but it is easier to believe something, to believe God's word, and then hunker down and don't say a thing, just believe it and try to, make it through the process and overcome. And I'm going to say that the Lord is gracious in that he teaches us and allows us to function for that to work in our lives in many ways. But with me, I had seemed to had plateaued, or it wasn't the final solution. It wasn't making it all the way through. I wasn't in the success, or whatever you want to say. I wasn't experiencing what I believe that Lord has provided in those verses. And it is because of verse 21 and 22. I hadn't been willingly praising God in the midst of that battle, in the midst of my battle of not seeing the manifestation of this thing yet, but yet praising God ahead of the seeing, declaring thanksgiving and declaring his works before they manifested. That's the place that I was struggling with. So I very evident when he says, let them offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And he doesn't say there, be thankful or, have this encouraged heart of gratefulness and thanksgiving and thankfulness and feel all, puffy and happy and thanks. Does not say that. He says a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that means you probably don't feel like it. And like every other sacrifice, it's death. It's an opposition. It's a sacrifice. It's putting to death something. Thanking God before you see it. Thanking him for his word. Simply because it's true. Because he gave it to us. And this thanksgiving and this praise, this is what I'm learning to do, even in the midst of my lack. And I'm thanking him. Thank you, Lord, even now, as you touch my heart. I know these words are true. I know your psalm is true. I know it's splattered all over this psalm to give you thanks. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. And why praise? Because our praise and our thanksgiving, even in the midst of our lack, is what you use to bring it into our heart, into our life, and into our manifestation. So I praise you, Lord. I thank you. I just ask that you would strengthen me to stand in these truths that you're opening up my eyes to. And Lord, I know that probably David's been teaching for 25 years or so, and it just takes a certain time, a certain environment before it rings into our heart as an absolute necessity to trust you in doing these things. But I do give myself to you even now, Lord, right now, and ask you to bring it forth in my heart and in my life. And I thank you for it, Lord. Just fill me with your Holy Spirit. And do likewise to each one of my brothers and sisters, Lord, and fill us up with your Holy Spirit and bring these truths and these things home in our heart. And let you be pleased to dwell with us, Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you and praise you for what you're doing, what you have done. And even though I can't see many of the things, Lord, I see that you're bringing it into us simply through the avenue of praise and thanksgiving and worship. And I just thank you for it and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Got a prayer? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, that verse you read in 31, I think it's repeated in Psalm 107 like three times. I just noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a song here that I sing, and I used to quote 107 verse 8, and I would sing, praise the Lord. for the works that he does unto the children of men. I never noticed that it was repeated three times in there. I guess you get lost sometimes in reading it. Anyway, just wanted to bring that up.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. You want to ask? I got a prayer I'd like to pray for all of us. How's that? Father, we don't want this life, Lord. And I'm not telling you. Give us your best, and that best is Jesus Christ. I praise you for that, Lord. And I'm looking in the mirror. We're all looking in the mirror. We're accepting this gift. And from now, we're going to walk in your steps. Yeah, not only that, we're going to forget those things that are behind. And we're pressing forward to the high calling. Of God in Christ Jesus. It's in us, Lord. You have invited, you have called us into this high calling, Lord. We are bidden to come to the marriage feast. We are bidden to partake of the body and the blood of Christ. Glory be to God. Just like Jesus did at that marriage feast he attended. We are bidden, we have been invited. Glory be to God. And Lord, we want to know what you want us to do. So lead us. We ask you to lead us by your Spirit, Lord. The Word says, Lord, that we are accounted righteous by our faith because we do see the end from the beginning. And we see Jesus Christ in the mirror. And we claim Jesus Christ. And we claim our sonship and our daughtership. And since we are counted righteous by faith, I thank you, Lord, for manifesting Jesus in each and every one of us. And I praise you for that, Father, that we walk like Jesus, we talk like Jesus, we act like Jesus. We have the love that Jesus had. We have the light to the world that Jesus had. Father God, I thank you so much for going to the cross so that we could do the things that you did, Lord, for us, so that we don't have to go through all of that. I praise you for it, Father. We do have to kill the flesh, we know that, but I know you're doing it in us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God for the work that you're doing in each and every one of us.
I receive it, Lord.
Getting us on the top of the mountain. That's where we're going, Lord. We're going to the top of the mountain, Mount Zion. We thank you, Lord, for doing that for each and every one of us. Let your light shine before us and let us shine with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anyone else? Y'all are starting to look just like Jesus out there. Glory to God. Man, I tell you what. It's going to be awesome. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I ask anybody, I was thinking now again about David's teaching on Wednesday about dream visions and imaginations and things. I was asking, and I'm getting quite a few visions each night. Sometimes dreams, but most times I get a lot of visions. And sometimes I can't understand some of them, part of it, but there's quite a few that I don't understand. So, So I'm not sure how to do it. But you ask the Lord for a verse or something I don't understand about the visions. Maybe something important I don't understand. How do I go by it? Anybody got some visions they don't understand, or is it just me that getting a lot of it? I was asking.
Yeah, Pat.
Joe, I'm not sure that I'm can give you much input related to visions and dreams. But what I would suggest is, and I'm sure you probably already do it, write them down and keep a log of them at least. Because the few that I have had, as I have written them down, there are a handful of them that I had that I completely, even though I wrote them down, I forgot them. And when I went back later and read them, they started to make sense. I could start to see, and I don't know if it was, you know, maybe the Lord gave them to me, and I couldn't see anything at the time, but the things that I was going through and the experiences that I was going through later on, after I read them, I could see that the Lord was showing me certain things, or sending my thoughts in a certain direction. So I don't know if that's specifics or not, but I know that for sure I would definitely write them down and get them recorded, because, you know, you'll forget them if you don't. So, and I think the Lord will develop them and bring clarity to you, as you just let them rest, and I shouldn't say fester is not the word, but you just let them germinate, I guess you might say, and they will grow into something for sure. Anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what some people do when they get those dreams. Write them down. But they'll ask the Lord for a word. When they get the word, that generally tells them, you know, a lot about it. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. I know. I got a dream book. I book all my writing when my verses I got and dreams. Well, my vision. So it's, I think I can remember last time when I didn't have any. I have. Almost every day I got visions. Sometimes when I'm reading, sometimes when I'm just wake up, or but I'm busy with it, some get visions. And so there's a lot of them. I write them all down. A lot of them I don't understand. So it's to go back each day. Each and every day I got some visions. So lots of things have not make sense, or what? No, not a lot make sense. Everything comes from the Lord, but I don't understand why, how does it fit? And sometimes I go back and sometimes I see things I can understand, but there's times that like there's quite a few that I don't understand, but I haven't got any idea of what it means. What is it purpose? But how do I know, or how do you, all you discern, vision, say, for specific is what, which is from the Lord and which is not? Can I ask that? What are you understanding about?
What was that last part, Joe?
How do you discern visions from the Lord and not and from the enemy?
Whether or not they're from God, or whether or not the enemy is, you know, showing you something.
Yeah. So I got each and every day. I got some. So it's it doesn't seem right to me just ask to throw lots about every vision I got, or getting a word, or maybe it's, I'm not sure. Anybody can help me there?
Go ahead. Well, I can tell you this, Joe, if you've got some that you're not sure about and you want to know, you can send them in. that we can help you with it. That's, or just pray and ask the Lord, you know, a lot of times that helps people too. Just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? Is this personal or is this whatever?
I guess, like with what Michael said, Joe, and also to ask the Lord, is like, Lord, is this vision from you? Is this something I need to pray about? And is this something, because sometimes it could be about, like people you recently met and that you've been praying for. You know, I don't know how and when you get your visions, if they're, like you said, when you're reading the word or when you're praying for about things, because the Lord can speak to you that way and show you something and then ask him, say, who does this relate to? You know, if you don't know, you don't know, right? He's the one that, he knows your mind and he knows your heart and what you're praying for. So, sometimes it'll make sense later, like, you know, what Pat was saying. You know, but, yeah, that's all I got.
Well, I hope that helped you, Joe, so you'll be able to go in there and start interpreting every one of them. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Joe. Lord, I ask that you open up his spiritual eyes to see the things in his dreams, that he could understand what you're telling him. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you.
I just have a question about dreams. Because sometimes, you know, can you compare a dream to a parable? You know, like, if you're going to read the Proverbs a lot, you know, there's a lot of things in the Proverbs that can help you with interpreting dreams, I think. And you know, even the parables, the allegories, the types and shadows, the examples, and the proverbs, of course, should be able to help you sometimes with interpretation of your dream. They might have to do with things in the country you live in, or representations, like things in the dream would represent something, whether it be in accordance to a country or political party, or just something about yourself, you know, things like sand and biting over sand or something like that, you know, or whatever, you know, a repetition of a dream, maybe you'll have another chance at witnessing to someone or something like that, I don't know, depending on what the dream, the context of the dream is. Anyway, I always thought that you can compare some of these dreams to parables, to things that are a story within a story. So, you know, I don't know. I'm just asking that question.
Yeah, you do it all the time. Go ahead, Diddy. Start to call you Diddy.
Well, I had a little quick little blippy vision when you were praying, Michael.
Okay.
And it was, all I saw was a strong man. It was a strong man, very muscular shoulders, just about the chest level and the head, and was just doing this thing, you know, this thing, strong arms, doing this, like strength, when you were praying. And it was just real quick.
Okay.
And I thought, I thought, you know, the surrender, was it like, what was that prayer about now? Like surrender and giving over to the Lord. And as I was like, herein lies your strength, maybe. That's like gotta be the first before anything, is that's gotta be first. Our strength's gotta have a foundation. That's gotta, I mean, everything's gotta have a foundation. That surrender, that giving up, giving over. That's a strong foundation, I think.
Amen. Thank you, David. Go ahead, Jenny.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Debbie is, you know, Jesus is our strength, and he is, there's this scripture, I can't remember where, in the Psalms, or one of the prophets, but, you know, it's like, you know, Jesus is the, you know, the right arm of the Lord, you know,
that too.
Strength, you know, and, you know, our, his power is made perfect in our weakness as we surrender and we submit, you know, we get our strength from him. You know, he's our sufficiency. He's our, we get our strength from him. It's like in Ephesians 6 where it says, you know, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God. You know, and, you know, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So he is our strong man. And then the other scripture that was coming to my mind is Jesus bound the strong man who was Satan. You know?
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, there's the love verse. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And isn't that strength just from what it says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, which I know has something to do with the man-child, but one of the lights there is strength, I think, in the seven lights. The seven lights he describes there in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. Just like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, I wonder if the strength of the Lord is going to give you understanding and stuff, and how they all seem to collate with each other, those seven lights that you have there. And the light that's within you, of course, in your temple, in your tabernacle. So, yeah. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Debbie. All right. Anybody else got anything before we close out? Lord, we thank you for another good night tonight. We praise you, Father, that everybody is starting to look just like you, Lord. In Jesus' name.